Well, what do you think?
Look at you.
You look so good.
Thank you.
It's so nice of you to drive your friends around.
As long as I can drive, I'm happy to help.
You don't need to earn a paycheck to work hard. Working together, we'll make sure you spend your retirement the way you want to. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far.
Oh, man, what a great message there. Compliments of Wells Fargo. In fact, we looked at that last weekend, this whole idea of, you know, you don't have to earn a paycheck to work hard. So many times we think, well, I'm only doing work when I get a paycheck. And one of the things we see and understand is that, you know, work is not tied to a paycheck. We work because God created us to work. In fact, today we're going to be taking a look at what it means to get back to this whole idea of valuing work and doing it with a dirty job mentality. And so that's kind of my goal today. My goal is to get us to see the value of being in the same job for a really long time. You're like, ugh. Yeah. No, the same job where you're hitting the same nail on the same head, you know, every day, every week, every month for a really long time. And we're going to look at doing this with a dirty job mentality. Now, we're gonna jump right into something the Apostle Paul says. And so if you have the Crosspoint app, you can open up that app and hit the Bible button. It'll take you right to 2 Thessalonians. And the Apostle Paul is somebody who knows a lot about work. In fact, being an apostle, this means that he is called. And what he was called to was he was called to plant churches in the Mediterranean Rim. And so the Apostle Paul goes and starts planting churches, starting churches, and then he would move on after they got going, and he'd go and start another one. And then he would write letters to the churches he had previously started. And every now and then, those letters were actually inspired by God. And then they would take those letters and they'd reproduce copies of them and they'd give them to other churches. And so, you know, this was kind of what Paul did. This was one of his jobs. Now, what's really interesting as we look at this passage is he doesn't really talk about that glory work, right? That's glory work, right? I mean, if you're like getting the inspired word of God and you're writing that down, you know, that's kind of like glory work. You're like, what's glory work? Well, glory work is like the opposite of grunt work, right? Grunt work is where I'm like hitting the nail, I'm doing work, I'm sweating, I'm dirty. You know, glory work is where you kind of get the kudos. It's where you can look over your shoulder and sometimes see, wow, I made a lot of progress today. You know, glory work is that place we all want to be. And so, you know, but here's what's interesting. The Apostle Paul talks more about his grunt work. His grunt work was he was a tent maker. That's what he did for a living to support himself. Then he actually does about this is what we would refer to as the glory work of writing the inspired word of God. And so let's take a look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning with verse 6. Here's what he says. He says, "Now we command you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you have received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Now, such persons are commanded, and we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good." Now, this is kind of fascinating because there's a famous line right here. If anyone's not willing to work, let him not eat. You know, sometimes we apply that to, it's used to apply to people who are on welfare, who are maybe trying to bilk the system and not have a job and just get the government to give them money. And it certainly applies to that. But this whole passage really applies to people who are working. It applies to people who have a job, who are working, but they're not doing it very diligently. All right, so a couple big ideas out of this passage for today. Number one, be aware of people who do not work. Be aware of them. That's what Paul's saying right here. Be aware of people who do not work. Be aware of people who do not like to work. All right. Be aware of people who badmouth work. He's saying, hey, just be careful. In fact, look at what he says right there. He says, keep away from them. He says, keep away from any brother or sister who is walking in idleness. All right, so when it comes to work, if somebody's just not a fan of work, he's like, hey, be leery of them, all right? Be cautious. If somebody is more excited about their recreational endeavors than about, you know, the opportunity to work, that's a spiritual problem. There's an outage spiritually in their life, inside their heart, right? He says, just be aware, all right? So that's the first big idea. Second big idea, he says, be a model of work. He says, be a model of work. This is what we've been to you, he is saying. In fact, he's saying, you ought to imitate us because we were not idle. He's like, hey, when we were with you, we weren't just sitting around. We weren't bilking off your food. We were busy. And he's like, you know, you need to keep away from people that aren't busy, you know, doing their work. And he says, you know, you need to honor the tradition from which you came, which is this hardworking tradition where I honor God even with my work life. You know, this whole idea of modeling work in our culture, I think we have a prophet in our midst today. I really do. This whole idea of one who is sent to our culture today, I'm not really sure where his spirituality lies, but I do believe we've got a prophet in our midst, somebody who is helping America and our culture reclaim the value of work in our world today. And his name is Mike Rowe. Maybe you've heard of him. Dirty Jobs guy. Anybody heard of Mike Rowe? Brilliant, brilliant guy. Fascinating guy. Dirty Jobs was okay. I mean, it's like, you know, if you've seen like 5 episodes, you've seen them all, right? I mean, right? I mean, it's like somebody's going to be shoveling poop for a living. That's a dirty job. Or, you know, they're going to be sticking their arm up inside some big animal. Yeah, that's a really dirty job. And, you know, I mean, am I wrong? I mean, any Dirty Job fans in the room this morning? Yeah, isn't that pretty much the premise of the show, right? I mean, it's going to be dirty. But listen, when you hear Mike Rowe talk about work, I'm telling you what, he has ideas that are just right on, right? In fact, I would even go as far as saying they're even biblical. In fact, I ran across an email or a Facebook post that was sent to him, and he responded to it. It was very fascinating. In fact, as I was reading it, it was like this whole scene began to unfold in front of me. And so I want to kind of take you there this morning and read this email to you that he received. It goes like this. It said, "Hey, Mike, I spent the last year trying to figure out the right career for myself, and I still can't figure out what to do. I've always been a hands-on kind of guy and a go-getter. I could never be an office worker. I need change, excitement, and adventure in my life, but where the pay is steady. I grew up in construction, and my first job was a restoration project. I love everything outdoors. I play music for extra money. I like pretty much everything, but get bored very easily. I want a career that will always keep me happy, but can allow me to have a family and get some time to travel. I figure if anyone knows jobs, it's you, so I was wondering your thoughts on this if you ever get the time. Thank you, Parker Hall." Mike Rowe responds. He says, "Hi, Parker. My first thought is that you should learn to weld and move to North Dakota. The opportunities are enormous, and as a hands-on go-getter, you're qualified for the work. But after reading your post a second time, it occurs to me that your qualifications are not the reason you can't find the career that you want. I had drinks last night with a woman I know. Let's call her Claire. Claire is 42. She's cute, smart, and successful. She's frustrated, though, because she can't find a man. I listened all evening about how difficult her search has been, about how all the good ones were taken, about how her other friends had found their soulmates and how it wasn't fair that she had not. Look at me, she said. I take care of myself. I put myself out there. Why is this so hard? Well, how about that guy at the end of the bar, I said. He keeps looking at you. No, not my type. Really? Well, listen, how do you know? I just know. Well, have you tried a dating site, I asked. Are you kidding? I would never date someone I met online. All right, well, how about a change in scenery? Your company has offices all over, right? Maybe try living in another city. What? Leave San Francisco? Never. Well, how about the other side of town? You know, mix it up a little bit. Visit different places. New museums, new bars, new theaters. She looked at me like I had 2 heads. Why the heck would I do that? Here's the thing, Parker. Claire doesn't really want a man. She wants the right man. She wants a soulmate, specifically a soulmate from her zip code. And she assembled this guy in her mind years ago, and now, darn it, she's tired of waiting. I didn't tell her this because Claire has the capacity for sudden violence. But it's true. She complains about being alone, even though her rules have more or less guaranteed she'll stay that way. She's built a wall between herself and her goal, a wall made of conditions and expectations. Is it possible that you've built a similar wall? Consider your own words. You don't want a career, you want the right career. You need excitement and adventure, but not at the expense of stability. You want lots of change and the freedom to travel, but you need the certainty of steady pay. You talk about being easily bored, as though boredom is out of your control. It isn't. Boredom is a choice, like tardiness or interrupting. It's one thing to love the outdoors, but you take it a step further. You vow to never take an office job. You talk about the needs of your family, even though that family doesn't exist. And finally, you say the career you describe must always make you happy. These are just my thoughts. You may choose to ignore them, as I wouldn't blame you, especially after being compared to a 42-year-old woman who can't find love. But since you asked, stop looking for the right career and start looking for a job, any job. Forget about what you like. Focus on what's available. Get yourself hired. Show up early. Stay late. Volunteer for the scut work and become indispensable. You can always quit later and be no worse off than you are today, but don't waste another year looking for a career that doesn't exist. And most of all, stop worrying about happiness. Happiness does not come from a job. It comes from knowing who and what you truly value and behaving in a way that's consistent with those beliefs. Many people today resent the suggestion that they're in charge of the way they feel. But trust me, Parker, those people are mistaken. That was a big lesson from Dirty Jobs, and I learned it several hundred times before it stuck. What you do, who you're with, and how you feel about the world around you is completely up to you. Man, talk about a great perspective right there, right? Man, talk about a godly attitude in the midst of a job. You know, last week we talked a little bit about some of the reasons that I believe we are here in America where we are when it comes to work. We kind of have this waning work ethic. We have this waning, you know, interest in work. We're kind of always devaluing work. And at the core of this, I really think, is a theological problem. I think there's a spiritual outage in our hearts. There was this thing back in the 15th and 16th centuries called the Reformation. And the Reformation was when a bunch of theologians and pastors and priestly types of people, you know, these folks in the midst of this Reformation said, hey, you know, there's some things that we're missing when it comes to the Bible. Like, we've just forgot about them, and we kind of need to get back to these things. And we kind of need to reinstitute these things. And so one of the things that they discovered that they needed to reclaim back in the 15th, 16th century was this idea that everyone's job was valuable before God. And one of the verses in the Bible that really connects to this comes to us from Exodus chapter 19. In fact, this is God talking to the Israelites right here. And here's what he says. He says, you will be for me a kingdom of priests. He's talking to normal, ordinary people. He says, you're going to be a kingdom of priests. This is the doctrine of the priesthood of all believers. All right, this idea that all believers, everyone who believes and has relationship with God, can be used in their jobs, whatever job it is, and you actually do ministry when you do your job. Right? And back in that time of the Reformation, see, the most exalted job of that time was people who were in a role like mine, priests, theologians, those kinds of people. And they were the ones that had the calling. And we looked at calling last week. We used the word vocation. Vocation comes from the Latin word vocare, which means to call or to summon. It's a sense that I'm called to a particular role. And the dudes who were in these jobs back then, they weren't in it because of their beliefs. They were in it because they wanted to hold this esteemed position. All right, now listen. I'll tell you right now. My position today is not esteemed in our society, right? In case you're wondering, listen, when I tell somebody what I do for a living, they kind of begin to think there's all kinds of weirdness happening, all right? They think, well, he only works a half day. He doesn't really know what it's like to work. He's probably stealing something, a bunch of shady stuff happening, you know, behind the closed door. I mean, that's just what people think. That's why I rarely tell people I'm a pastor. You know, listen, we've come a long way from the Reformation, but one of the things they said is, look, all of our jobs, doesn't matter what your job is, you're in the ministry. It's valuable before God. This is the priesthood of all believers. And the Apostle Paul was talking about this even in his words to, you know, these churches in Thessalonica. I mean, he didn't delineate the difference between writing, his job of writing the inspired words of God, and that of being a tent maker. He made no demarcation in that. He just said, hey, both of these are important and valuable in the eyes of God. And so, see, I think we have to come to this place where we see our job, whatever it is, as valuable to God, as important in the eyes of God. And, you know, right now, in my job, I'm doing kind of the glory work right now, right? This is glory work right here. This is where I'm on stage. This is where I'm in front of people. This isn't where the job gets done. It's behind the scenes when I'm doing the grunt work. And I think we have to see that, you know, whether society sees your job as glory work or grunt work, that it is valuable in the eyes of God. You know, sometimes pastors will come up to me, especially startup pastors who are wanting to kind of do what we're doing, and they'll say, hey, Kurt, how do you do what you do? What's the secret? You know, how can I be just like you? I don't know why they want to be like me, all right? But they, you know, that's kind of the form. What's the one thing? And I'm like, there's not one thing. Other than this, I show up every day, and I hit the same nail on the head every day, day after day. And that's how the job gets done. In fact, here's my schedule. This is kind of a typical week for me right here. This is a week ago. And you can see I show up every day at 9 o'clock. All right, I start my work at 9 o'clock, get kids in the bus, I start at 9 o'clock, and I'm usually running into a meeting or into prep time, and I work a straight 8-hour day, you know, from 9 to 4, including lunch. I work right through lunch, usually in meetings of some kind. And then typically I'll add another couple hours in the evening, whether it's prep time or, you know, finishing up emails. Sometimes I have meetings in the evening. You'll see that I have, you know, 5 or 6 direct connects with some of my staff. I meet with PJ and Eric, the direct reports, Coy, Karen, my assistant. These are people I meet with every single week. I have a couple blocks of time, typically Mondays and Wednesdays, that I have available times for my assistant to schedule times for people to meet with me, somebody from Crosspoint that wants to get on my calendar. I have some open slots where if something comes across my desk, I can get to it and kind of push it on to wherever it needs to go. I have teaching prep built in. I mean, I spend a half a day on Tuesday and a full day on Thursday just prepping for this and other leadership things that I lead. And it's pretty much the same thing. I'm hitting the same nail every day, just, you know, day in, day out. And I teach to empty rooms every Saturday night, believe it or not, for 4 hours. I did it last night. 4 hours I teach to an empty room. And I just kind of hone in what I'm going to do. Thank God, for your sake, I teach to an empty room on Saturday night, all right? That I, like, work out some of the kinks. And I do that every. Some weeks I don't want to do it. But you know what I do? I still do it. I get up and I hit the nail every weekend. I still personally, you know, send notes to first-time guests, handwritten notes. If you're here for the first time today, you'll get a note from me this week. If you notice that note, that is not written by a machine, all right? You can tell by the bad handwriting. It was mine, all right? I have really bad handwriting. Some of you can't even read it, all right? But here's what I do. I see the name, and I write it down, and then I say a quick prayer for him, and then I just say, hey, great to see you at Crosspoint last weekend. I hope your time was relevant and meaningful, and I send the note. You know, I still answer my own email. All right, I mean, sometimes I'll forward it on to somebody else if they're more apt to, you know, it's more in line with them, you know, being able to answer that. But, you know, these are the things. I mean, there's just nothing unique about my job. I just show up and I hit the same nail. I've been doing it for the last 8 years, pretty much the same way here at Crosspoint. And why do I do that every day? All right, why should you hit the same nail every day? All right, third big idea, because we work to bless. All right, our work is meant to be a blessing. All right, now one of the ways your work blesses is it blesses other people in your life because they don't have to take care of you. Take a look at what it says right here. It says, you know, we work that we might not be a burden to any of you. See, if I don't work, somebody has to take care of me. All right, if I don't hit the same nail on the same head every day, then somebody else has to step in. If I don't develop the work ethic of doing that, then I become a burden to somebody else. All right, the real blessings come when I hit the same nail on the same head every single day for a really long time. Now, you know, we have opportunities to work here at Crosspoint. Now, 99% of what happens here at Crosspoint doesn't have a paycheck attached to it, all right? And sometimes people are like, well, man, I'd like to come work for you. I'm like, well, where are you working right now at Crosspoint? They're like, well, I'm not. I'm like, well, all right, I'm not hiring you. All right, I mean, you know, usually we hire people that are already working for us, all right? They've shown us that, hey, I want to be engaged. I want to do the thing that God is doing here. And that's why Eric has been talking about this volunteer card, because, you know, this is God's work. All right, you're looking for a place to be a blessing, fill this card out. If you're not already serving around, I guarantee you, you will be a blessing. All right, this will give you, it will put you in a place where you will be a blessing to others. I just had a conversation this past week with a friend of mine who had kind of gone through a rough patch and used to be very involved and just had to take some time out of serving. And as I was talking to her, she said, you know, Kurt, I almost disconnected because I just began to feel alone. And I realized one of the reasons is because I wasn't plugged in anywhere. She said, you know, a couple team leaders said, hey, you want to come serve in our environments? And she's like, I can't tell you how much that meant to me, and I feel connected and engaged with people, and I feel like I have a purpose again, all because of volunteering in a kids' class. See, this is the work that brings blessing into our lives. Forbes.com. Always sends out some fascinating statistics, and this was really interesting to me. They said that the average worker today will stay at his or her job for an average of 4.4 years in 2015. And what's fascinating about that is they said the younger workers today will actually endure in their jobs for half that period of time. And then they also found when they were studying millennials that millennials believe that they will not be in a job for any more than 3 years at any point in their life, which means that millennials will have between 15 and 20 jobs over the course of their lifetime. Well, think about this for a moment. What's so bad about having 15 to 20 jobs over your work life? Well, here's what's bad about that. You never become a master at anything. All right? You never become a master salesman or a master builder or a master manager because you're constantly shifting from one job to the next. You never really understand the complexity of your role, and you never get to the place where you're making a lot of jack because those who make a lot of jack hit the same nail every day for a really long time until they become a master in what they do, and then that's where the money actually comes. And so it's very fascinating. It's interesting because this isn't just a problem for us today. The Apostle Paul talked about this. In fact, he had a word for people who kind of did this kind of work. And you know what he called them? He called them busybodies. He said, yeah, there's a bunch of busybodies. And what's a busybody? Well, it's somebody who's not busy at work. You know, it's the contrast of somebody who's being productive, hitting the same nail every day, and somebody who just looks like they're busy. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means you might be busy doing all kinds of activity while you are at work, like you're breakdancing or something. I don't know. Yeah, you're busy. You're busy. You're doing something, but there's no productivity coming out of it because you're not hitting the same nail. What does that look like? Well, maybe it's like, you know, you're supposed to be there at 9 and you show up at 2 after 9. And it takes you like 5 more minutes to get your stuff unpacked. So all of a sudden, you just wasted 7 minutes of productivity. All right, that's being busy. You're busy, but you weren't productive. All right, or maybe you work 9 to 5 and, you know, at 4:50, you start packing up. Because, I mean, I'm going to be out that door and at 4:59, I'm ready to go. Well, you know, you might be busy in those last 10 minutes, but you're not being productive. You know, or it might be, well, you know, I can do some Facebook updates during my day, or, you know, I can go to Amazon.com and try to find the latest deal, you know. And listen, if you're supposed to work like 9 to 5 and you work 9 to 6:30, then you probably have some freedom to do that during your day. But see, here's the thing. Your boss is expecting a certain level of productivity between 9 and 5. And if you're not hitting that nail every single day, then there's things that are not happening in your business. There's also certain traction that is not being gained in your life, right? Because we're always looking for the next thing, the next hit, the next buzz, the newest thing. Fourth and final point, we need to get to a place where we can give our employer an honest, productive, quiet day's work, all right? Paul says, do your work quietly. What does that mean? Well, take a look at what he says here. He says, we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly. What does that mean? Well, it means you go about your business and you get her done. That's what it means. you don't trumpet all your success. You know, we don't need to. So often we're like, hey, guess what I did? You see my latest project? And we're always trumpeting our success. You know, busybodies don't work quietly. They're always telling people how busy they are. You notice that? People are like, man, I am so busy. You know, the greatest compliment of a busybody is when somebody goes up to them and they're like, man, I just noticed you're always so busy. And they're like, boy, I am so glad you noticed that. You know, because I am, yes, I am. I am B-U-S-Y. I am busy, yes. I'm glad everybody notices how busy I am. You know what you never hear about a busybody? You never hear somebody say, man, you are so productive. You know, busybodies don't hear that. They just hear, oh, you're so busy. Because they're busybodies, right? You never, nobody ever goes up to a busybody and says, man, you are so intentional and diligent in your work. No. So you can have a full schedule. You can be very busy with activity and be having no productivity because you're not hitting the same nail on the head. See, the blessing doesn't come from the accolades. It comes when I work. I actually create blessing when I work. Now, one of the things in my job that was really an advantage for me when I, you know, began my job, I mean, I've been in the ministry now for 19 years. I've been in three different jobs over the course of 19 years that are very, very similar, very, very similar routines to what I do today. But in 1998, I had something that was called an ordination ceremony or a commitment ceremony. And this was something where, you know, the church group I was a part of said, hey, you know, if this is what you want your life to be about, Kurt, we're going to come together and lay our hands on you, and we are going to pray for you and commission you into that work. And I just kind of cemented it in my mind that day. You know, this is what God's called me to. This is what I'm doing. That's an advantage I have in my role. And now it's not like I don't have fantasies every now and then. You know, I see some people's jobs. I'm like, man, I would love to do that job. Or I would love to have that paycheck. Or I would love to drive that Indy car. I mean, you know, whatever it is. I mean, you know, I daydream at times. But I've never really had a moment where I'm like looking outside of what I currently do for the next thing. And I just settled it a long time ago. This is what my life is going to be about, and this is the nail I'm going to hit. And I wonder how many of us would be appreciative of hitting the same nail if we had a similar ceremony to that like I had about 17 years ago. So today, we're going to have a commissioning ceremony as we kind of wrap things up this morning. All right, you're going to be commissioned, you're going to be ordained, if you will, in your work. Meaning you're going to have the opportunity to kind of say, God, I'm going to make a fresh commitment in whatever it is I'm doing right now in my life, the job that I do. And if you want to submit something in that particular work, then I'm going to give you the chance to do that right here. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your nail and I want you to hold it in your hand. I just want you to hold that nail in your hand, and those of you who are teachers in the room, educators, go ahead and stand up with me. All right, just go ahead and stand right where you are, and we're going to try to hit a bunch of sectors of work here in the next few minutes. I'm not going to be able to hit all of them, but teachers, I want to start with you. All right, any other teachers in the house, educators of any way, shape, or form? There we go. All right, hold that nail in your hand. See, teachers, here's the thing. You know, society looks at you and they're kind of like, man, why do they not make more money, right? I mean, movie stars all over the world make tons and tons of money, but man, you guys don't make anything compared to that. Well, here's the reason, all right? Because your pay does not come into your checking account, all right? A little of it does. I mean, a little comes in, but your pay is in the fulfillment of knowing that, you know, what I do every day is building into kids and taking them to places that they're currently not yet. I mean, that's the pay that you receive every single day. So here's your commission. When you show up and hit that nail every single day. Come prepared with your lesson plans every single day, even when it feels like redundancy. You know, prepare and be creative in what you do. Show up and say, my main role is to love these kids enough that I'm going to move them forward in the world because it's a very valuable job and God is very pleased with you. That's your commissioning. Let's hear it for our teachers this morning. Well done. You can go ahead and have a seat. All right, next group, blue-collar workers. Any blue-collar workers in the room this morning? Construction workers, people who work with their hands, mechanics, landscapers, you know, pipe sweaters, you know. Yes, thank you. Listen, this is what you do every day. You hit the nail on the head every single day. And here's the deal with you guys. You have an art that most of us have lost. You realize that? Most people in the world used to be able to sweat a pipe. Used to be able to swing a hammer, used to be able to change the oil in their car. And most people today can't do that. I mean, you have got an art that is lost. You have skills and aptitudes that most people don't have anymore. Listen, Jesus was one of you, all right? Jesus was a builder. I mean, this was his job, all right? He did the very same thing you do. He worked with his hands. And don't let anyone ever, you know, cause you to be jealous because they earn more, the creative places they get to go, all right? Because you labor in a way that keeps our world functioning, and we need you and God needs you. Well done. Hit your nail on the head every single day. Yes, thank you. Blue-collar workers. All right, white-collar workers. Anybody that's a white-collar worker, managers, sales guys, if you sit in a cube, if you work in an office, if you answer a phone. All right, now we got you. Yeah. All right, so you, this crew of people, hold your nail in your hand. All right, here's the thing. Your work is knowledge work. All right, you do knowledge work. This is what you do every single day. Jesus was always the smartest guy in the room. All right, Jesus used his brain every single day. So here's your commissioning. When you work, use your brain. All right, when you make sales calls, use your brain. When you're leading and managing people, use your brain. All right, when you're crunching spreadsheets and when you're coming up with budget numbers, use your brain. All right, because your job is the kind of job that when you look over your shoulder, you can't always at the end of the day see where you've been and what you've done. Sometimes you're like, I don't even know what I did today. But here's the thing, if you don't do your work and you don't use your brain every day, our country does not go forward. So every day, show up and hit that nail on the head every day, day after day, week after week, month after month. That's your commissioning. Well done. Well done. You can have a seat. All right, how about the spice of life people? Those of you who are servers, bartenders, work in restaurants, coffee baristas, in the sports entertainment industry, music industry, creatives, this wide industry of serving professionals. All right, we got a few more. Excellent. All right, hold your nail in your hand. You know, you have a really, really important job. You know why? Here's the thing with your job. You go to work when everybody else is on break. Have you ever noticed that? You know, you labor when everybody else has been labored and they get time to rest. You know, when we say things like, you know, I don't want to cook for myself tonight, and we're going to go out to eat, that's when you go to work. You know, when people are tired of laboring and they just want to go have a drink, you know, that's when you go to work. You know, when we want entertainment and we want to get off the laboring side for a bit and we just want to be entertained, that's when you go to work. You know, the music you write, whatever it might be, you know, you serve a very, very important role because you keep our world refreshed and creative. Right? You serve a very, very important role every day. Show up and hit that nail on the head every single day, every single week, every single month. That's your commissioning. Congratulations. All right. Next group, government workers. Government workers. Anybody that gets a government paycheck, policemen, firemen, politicians, IRS workers, city government, local government, state government, federal government. All right, yes, a few of you here this morning. I'm so glad you're here this morning. Now, here's the thing. First of all, we're sorry we make fun of you. Let me just say that first of all, right? All right, just because there's a couple bad eggs in the bunch doesn't mean that we should make fun of all government workers. That's not responsible of us. So hear from us. We're sorry for that, first of all right? Now, here's the thing. We need honest people like you working for our government, all right? We need people who can protect. We need people who can use their brains and make great decisions. We need people who can be responsive and responsible. And every day that you hit your nail on the head, guess what? Our country, our city, and our state runs better, all right? So we need you to serve in your position as if you're serving for God, because you know what? Guess what? You are. You are every single day. So get out there, get after it, hit that nail every single day on the head, day after day, week after week, month after month. That is your commissioning. Congratulations. All right, healthcare workers, mental health care, physical health care, nurses, doctors, nursing home workers, mental health providers, therapists. All right, here's what's interesting. God is referred to as the great physician. He's also referred to as the mighty counselor. And so, you know, you're doing for us what God sometimes does miraculously, right? Every now and then, the miraculous actually happens, but not very often. That's why it's called the miraculous, right? And so here's the thing. God can miraculously heal people emotionally and people physically, but most of the time, he doesn't. You know how he chooses to work? Through you. You are the hands and the feet of Christ. Right? And so when you show up at your job, you know, when you're sitting next to someone, healing them emotionally or physically, just remember, you're caring for people that God loves and cares for. whether it's putting a needle in a vein, you know, it's reading a CAT scan, if it's counseling a cancer patient, if it's counseling someone, you know, post-divorce, whatever it might be, recognize you're doing the very work of God, and God is very proud of you. Show up and hit that nail on the head every single day, every single week, every single month. This is your commissioning. Congratulations, and thank you for your work. All right, next group, students. Any students in the room? Junior high, senior high, college, post-grad, doctoral students. Oh, look at this, man. Let's hear it for our students. Awesome. Awesome, yes. So here's what's cool. You're a very unique group this morning. You know why? Because every other group I've talked to about this morning, I'm asking them to stay in the same job, hit that nail on the head for a really long time. Your job has a definitive end. At least your parents hope so. All right? It might be in 2 years, it might be in 6 years, it might be in 10 years, but it has a definitive end, all right? And so, and here's the thing. The work ethic you develop, students, right now in your life will be the indicator of the blessings that you'll experience later in life, all right? So stay on it. So when you go to class, show up and sit in the front of the class so you're not distracted with the stuff going on in the back of the class. When you don't understand something, raise your hand. All right, when you don't get the answer after class, chase down your professor. I did that all kinds of times. I never understood anything. All right? I'm always chasing my professor. All right, show up. All right, just show up to class. It's so important. Turn in your work. All right, that you'll learn later in life that never ends. You know, turning things in on deadlines. And most importantly, take care of yourself physically and emotionally. Take care of your mind. Eat well. Get the sleep you need because God is developing your brain. And as I said a few moments ago, Jesus was always the smartest person in the room, and he wants you to develop your brain so you can serve like he served. This is your role. Hit your nail every day, every week, every month as you are in the role of a student. That's your commissioning. All right, well done, students. All right, last category, everybody else. If you've not stood up, go ahead and you can stand to your feet. I'm going to try to capture as many categories as possible. Nonprofit sector, maybe you work in the nonprofit or for a religious group. Stay-at-home parents. Man, this is a big one. This is going to take a while. Some of you might as well settle in. All right, stay-at-home parents. Let's start with you. All right, stay-at-home parents. I tell you what, you have a thankless job. All right, you have a thankless job. And while everybody else is getting paid, everybody else is getting bonuses, guess what? You never get one. You never get one. And you hit the same nail every day. I mean, you're hitting the same nail. You wake up and the nail is there before you. And you know, sometimes it's waking you, all right? And so here's the thing. You're wiping things. You're cleaning things. You're folding things. You're packing things. You're taxiing important cargo. All right, and make no mistake about it, I think you have one of the most enduring roles of any work that there is. Because every day you're in an intensive discipleship engagement all throughout the day. You're developing young disciples in your children every single day. Parents, show up and hit your nail on the head every single day. Nonprofit sector, everybody stay up. Nonprofit, if you work in the nonprofits of any way, shape, or form, listen, you're not working for a profit, but finances are still important. Right? You know, the organizations that are making a buck are doing that because they found a way to do it. You're probably working in a place in the world that somebody can't figure out how to make a buck, but you're doing it anyway. All right? And some of the greatest problems in the world are being left unaddressed except by you because you don't do it just for a paycheck. And so if you work in the nonprofit sector, you're probably not making a lot of money doing it, but I want to commission you and say, show up and hit your nail every single day. Every single day, hit that nail. And for anyone else that's standing, if I haven't listed your job, show up and hit that nail every single day because what you're doing is important before God and he values what you're doing. This is your commissioning. Let's congratulate them. All right, you guys can stay up. I'm going to have everybody stand with us. Everybody just jump to your feet with me. I want to pray for you. And then we're going to sing our way out of here. Let's pray. God, I thank you for reminding us this morning of the value of work. We're sorry for the ways we've turned our nose up at work and tried to get out of it, thought it was a bad thing. We just recognize that you're a God who works, and you invite us to do what you do. And so, God, I just pray that there would be a unique covering over this auditorium right now. And unique amounts of grace for everyone who got commissioned today, God. I pray that you would give us an extra dose of bravery this week. Help us to identify opportunities to make a difference and to make an impact, to show up and get the job done. To have the courage to get after it and to stay after it with a dirty job mentality. Because Jesus, this is what you did. And I pray these things in your name.